you would pray with me. Lord, as we open up your word and we talk about your message and what you have proclaimed, just pray, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified, and that our hearts and our minds would be focused on you, our Lord and our King, in your name. Amen. So this morning, I am going to be focusing on one phrase out of our passage, and I think it's a beautiful summary of the message of Jesus. It simply is, I love how this actually goes. It says, "And from then on, Jesus began to preach this simple thing, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So Matthew sums up all of Jesus' proclamation and his message in this one phrase. And wouldn't that be nice if we could sum up some of our messages in just one phrase? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And my goal this morning is to impress upon us the weight and the wonder of that teaching. The weight and the wonder. So first, the weight. The word repent, really outside of church circles, and let's be honest, a slim few church circles, the word repent is not very common in our culture anymore. And it's unfortunate that it's not, because it carries a weightiness with it. And that weightiness, one of the aspects of that, is that it helps us to recognize that an offense has occurred. Repentance follows an offense, and we're not always good at recognizing the weight of offense. So let me give an example. Let's just say this morning on our way in, Dr. Utek and I came driving in, and we got it. Let's just say hypothetically, we got a little lost, and we accidentally scraped up our car against Professor Schmidt's car. Well, let's just say that happened. Hypothetically, you can check later. And I'm confessing to you now that Dr. Utek did that. And as I say that, I said, "Hey, I'm so sorry. We are so sorry we scratched up your car." What is the typical American response to that? I'm so sorry. It's okay. But isn't that interesting? Because it's not okay, right? In our culture, we often minimize the weight of an offense, but in so doing, we also minimize the weight of forgiveness. I mean, real forgiveness comes from recognizing a real offense. Yes, it is a big deal that you scratched up my car. That's not okay. And I forgive you. That's real forgiveness. So when we pull the weight out of repentance, of recognizing the weight of our sin, we're actually missing something profound. There is a weightiness to that. Repent also, and you all, I'm sure, know this, in Greek and in Hebrew, the word repent carries with it this idea of movement. And especially in Hebrew, teshuvah is like a literal, like turn around, to turn a different direction. And in here, I think we find some of the wonder of repentance. So if we understand the weight, oftentimes with repentance, we focus on the sin side of it, the weightiness of our greed, our lust, the weightiness of our sin. But really, if you think about repentance, it's not just what you turn away from, it also has the aspect of what you turn towards. So with repentance, there should actually be a wonder, because what we're turning towards is, and it's right here in the passage, in the proclamation of Jesus, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near, is here. And the kingdom of heaven here means that the king has arrived. So really, if we understand the weight of repentance is recognizing the weight of our sin and turning away from, it's a turning towards, it's a drawn towards, it's a moved by the Spirit of God towards the wonderful, awesome, great King that we have, Jesus. And it is really interesting, at least to me, how often we take for granted some of the most wonderful things in life. No, we just really do. When we get used to it, we just kind of forget how amazing it is. Like, I'm sure maybe this will happen to you today at some point, because winter is not over yet, still got some punches for us, especially in the north where I'm from. I'm sure at some point you are going to be sitting in your living room, holding a cup of coffee or tea or hot cocoa, whatever your drink might be, looking out at a really cold day where the weather's bad and the driving's bad, and you might be finding yourself kind of complaining a little bit about, man, winter is just taking its toll. And now just think about that from another perspective. Holding your cup of hot cocoa in your pajamas in your warm house while looking out the door and complaining about the weather. Like 100 years ago, this weather came and people died. Like somehow along the way, you were going to forget that we're sitting in a warm, comfortable, hot cocoa-infused place. Like we miss some of the wonder. Man, with Jesus, there is so much wonder to be had. He came, he lived a perfect life. He didn't have to do either. He didn't have to come at all. He gave his life on the cross. He rose from the dead. That's rather significant. And I wonder how often we take the wonderment of that, and we miss the wonder, the amazing, the power of that. Repent. For our King, and he is a good King, is here. A few years ago, I have a friend who was coming out of a grocery store with her son, and we don't have Schnucks up in the north. We have a Byerly's is one of the ones. So came walking out of a Byerly's, and I don't know if you've ever seen one of those days where the weather is changing, and you just feel it. It was a little like one of those days where it kind of turns green. Everything just changes a little bit of color. And there was this wall, a cloud wall breaking. And they could see the storm coming. And so she walks out of the grocery store. She's got her son with her. And her son is just nibbling on a candy bar. And she looks up and she goes, oh, my goodness. It looks like Jesus could be coming back right now. Like just the sky's opening up. And her son, like, looks up at her. Looks at the cloud wall, looks up at her again, and goes, do you think he'll let me finish my candy bar first? Like, how many of us are holding on to a candy bar, missing the wonder of, like, Jesus returning? Like, they were waiting for the king to come. The first time we're waiting for Jesus to return, the fullness of his promises reveals, the fullness of his glory, the fullness of everything. And I wonder if we really get the wonder of that. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but have you ever bought a Christmas present for somebody that you just knew was so perfect? Like, you knew the moment they opened it, they would be blown away because you knew what they wanted even more than they knew what they wanted. Like it was just that good of a present. Have you been there? I know we don't raise our hands here, but if you could just give me a nod. All right, got a couple of you. Yeah. Like, there's something really exciting about sitting by the tree waiting for that particular present to be unwrapped. And sometimes I wonder if Jesus coming back from his perspective isn't just like, you guys don't even know how amazing this is. You guys preach about and talk about, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here, is near, the king is coming, the king's coming back. Do we even get on the other side of that? He's like, when this is fully revealed, oh my goodness, this is going to be more than you can imagine. In my Father's house are many rooms. Like, I just, all those things, I go to prepare a place for you. Like, so, so, so exciting. And so I just want to summarize and impress upon us the weight and the wonder of these words. Repent. Recognize our sin is great. It really is. Let's not minimize it. Let's recognize the price Jesus paid. Wow. And the wonderment of who Jesus is, so that in repenting, we turn towards the one who was, who is to come. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.